we're going to start with our love story, and we have to start before we even met, just so you can get a little background of who we are, and I think that will help you a little bit. Before I even met Eleanor, I was married, and I was married for 2 years, and after 2 years, my first wife died. Our son died also at the same time. It was just a tragic story, so I'm not going to go into that, but I wanted to tell you the background. When I met Eleanor, she was the second love of my life, she can tell you about, at the time, I did not really have any desire to get married again. You know, when you go through such a traumatic experience, and the reason I'm sharing this is because some of you, you know, you can go through horrible traumatic experiences, and you can think, well, I'm never going to fall in love again. I'm never going to go after love again. And I am here to tell you that you'll make the biggest mistake of your life if you do that. Because look at me. I have married truly the love of my life, and she is amazing, and I cannot... And you'll hear as we go along in our story that if you don't keep believing that God has somebody special in store for you, you'll make a big mistake. Yeah.
And you know, here I am. Here's this amazing man that has just gone through this terrible tragedy at the age of 23 years old. And I heard about him, jumping ahead a little bit, but when I heard somebody said they want to introduce me to Henny, and they told me what happened to him, I remember telling my mom, well, that's one man that I don't want to have anything to do with. I just said it because it's like, what baggage? That is just something. Seriously? I'm very sorry. It's horrible. But I was young. I had dreams. You know, you never say never. And I just before I even met him, said, well, just as well, you know, I'm not interested when somebody wanted to introduce me. And of course, I you never say never. Because, you know, as it developed, we'll tell you how we got to that point. But let me back up before I knew him. Before I knew him, I grew up in the church. I got saved practically every Sunday night of my life. Seriously, because I grew up in a spirit-filled church. Sunday night was outreach night. You know, evangelists came through town. Our pastors preached. Days of the good altar calls like we have here at The Rock. And as a little girl, those altar calls would go out and my heart would just melt. And I'm like, I got to go again, just make sure I'm saved. So if you ask me when I got saved, I can have multiple answers to you. Because anyway, so, but when I turned an older teenager, I also got a little nosy about what's going on in the world. So I did the one foot in church and one foot in the world thing. I did that. I would come to church, and I am the church girl that, you know, grew up in church and just, you know, loved the Lord. And I really did love God. But I did not give God all my heart and all my life. And it was only by the grace of God that kept me. But I did that double life thing. I was one foot in the world. I dated guys that were in the world because for sure there was nobody in my church that I was interested in. You know? Church of 350.
Some of you sitting here, I think you're thinking the same thing. I've checked them all out.
This is a lot bigger
all
church.
All of them, none of them really fit what I want.
Yeah, man. I
know what you're thinking.
I knew every guy in that church, and there was not one of them ever going to be.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, we actually met in the church, inside of the church that I was born and raised in. I said to my mom, never is... She always say, you know, you date Christian boys. But I also got engaged at that time, before I met him, of course. Not after I met you. But so I was engaged to be married to someone else. In my heart of hearts, I was not quite settled about the issue. But I came that close to marrying somebody that I would not have remained married to. The man loved God. He came to church with me. And people at church looked at us and just thought, wow, you're just a perfect couple. And I knew in my heart there was something was not right. I should never have promised him to marry him. I did promise by getting engaged to him. And it was a mistake, but I have had so many opportunities after that time to talk to young girls in particular, to tell you to not settle, to tell you when that sense of uneasiness is in your heart, do not go there. Because God had to literally rescue me. That's a story in itself. But one day I just cried out to God. I put out the fleece, like we read in the Bible, and I said, God, I just need, desperately, I just need you to show me. And God answered me. It's like with the fleece. I said, okay, but show me the other way. And God answered me almost instantaneously. So I walked away. It was in a church service. I walked away. I broke off the relationship. And that was a turnaround in my life that I said to God, okay, I'm ready to never get married again. Send me to China. Send me to the U.S. instead, still the other side of the road, the world where we grew up. But yeah, so when we met, the man was still calling me, kind of stalked me.
Yeah, listen, actually there was another girl in the church that liked me, and she introduced me to Eleanor.
Big mistake.
In the church, biggest mistake of her life. Once I saw her, I mean, that was it. That was it. I think probably that same week or that same night.
Okay, here goes.
Was it the same night?
Story now.
It wasn't
the same night, but.
Yeah, well, that same week, right?
Okay.
The same week. The same week. She, after church, she said, you know, we're going to have some tea at my house and. You want to come? And
I actually invited other people, and you just...
I overheard.
Yeah.
That was enough.
Tell you, the man is scared of nothing.
At the time, there was another guy that really liked her, and so obviously he was the first one to go. And lo and behold, was just me and him that showed up.
Nobody showed up.
Just me and this other guy that, you know, they had kind of a loose dating relationship, would you say?
Oh, that sounds horrible.
But you go.
What do you call it? We were talking.
Yeah, okay, they were talking. And I said, forget this talking, I can talk too, you know? And so here we sat in our mother's living room. He sat there, I sat there, and we kind of stared each other down.
I thought for sure when he comes in the house and he sees nobody else, you know, it was in a night like this, and it's like, where are we going to go to coffee? Come to my house for coffee. He overheard, so he came. And nobody showed up, just this other guy. I thought for sure, this is awkward, and he is going to leave, right? Would you have left, guys? Seriously.
Nah. No, you know what? Hey, some days you just have to man up.
He didn't leave.
Hey, guys, say it with me. Man up. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't be wimps. Say, man up. Yeah, and the ladies say, ooh. Right?
I thought I knew something was up with this guy. Either something is not clicking or he's got more courage
anyway,
than anything else. But yeah.
At the time, I looked horrible. Because I didn't really take good care of me at the time. My hair was really long. My beard was really long. And what did you think?
Never. I was like, this guy looks like he's 50. No, I actually seriously thought he's like 30-something old, you know?
Yep.
Old.
So I was wise enough to ask her for the haircut, you know, so she could cut my hair. And so she could touch me and, you know, play with my hair. And that was our first date.
So
you know?
He came over the next week one night. And, uh-huh. And
I mean, I set that up real quick.
And I cut his hair, and he said, okay, now he wanted to pay me, of course. And he said, okay, now let me buy a milkshake for you. I said, okay, because Now I'm cutting his hair and I'm thinking there's just nothing there. I had another friend of mine. I lived with my mom.
She was
still
so scared to be alone with me. She brought another friend.
Yeah, I was not
going to
be
support
alone with this man. So, and I'm cutting his hair. Seriously, he looked sad because he was sad. He had just gone through all that horrible stuff and sad, you know. And I cut his hair, and the more I cut his hair, I think, okay, there's something more to this. Under all this hair, seriously, by the time I had cut his hair, I kind of liked what I saw. Trimmed the beard nice and short and cut his hair and talked, and there was something without me wanting to be anything. Something was there. And then we went out for a milkshake the next week.
We went out for a milkshake that very first date, you know. And guess what our conversation was around the table that first night?
I wish it was Jesus. Okay, so
I laid it out for her. I said, you know what? If you want to get married, these are the things that are important in a marriage.
I should have known then. I should have run. This is
I said, you know, there are three things that are really important in any relationship in order for that relationship to work. And I just started talking to her about that. And I must have scared you.
Actually, thinking back, it was kind of interesting.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, cool.
It was. I should have known better, but I didn't. So we talked, and we think back of it and think that was the conversation we had, you know, but yes.
And the very next week, I also I picked her up and we went somewhere, and I just drove around the corner from where her mom lives, and I stopped the car right there next to the road, and I said, you know what, I need to talk to you. And I said, you know, I think I'm starting to fall in love with you. And I need to know right now if I'm wasting my time and if we need to stop this right now. Because I don't want for your heart to be broken or for my heart to be broken. Let's just settle. You know who I am. You know what I went through. So talk to me.
Yeah. So it was not that I knew you that well, but, you know, he was being a gentleman. He stopped, and I didn't expect it. And he just, said that and said, I'm falling in love with you. Tell me now if this is not going to work for you, you know, we'll just part ways right here. And I had a comeback to that. I didn't say yes. I didn't say no. I said to him, I just need for you to know. And seriously, guys, I just said it because I felt it was my life. I felt I needed to be honest. And I just said to him, listen, I just need for you to know that I am not going to be number two for the rest of my life. And you may think that that was harsh. You may think that how could you? Listen, this was where we were at. This was what happened in his life. I never thought that this was going to be something that I had to deal with. And I was just being honest. I'm so glad that I was, because if he didn't like that honesty, he could have left me right there. You know, he could have gone ahead. And I said, you know, I just do not think, I'm not sure where you are at, but I can tell you one thing. I cannot do this under circumstances that I'm going to feel like number two for the rest of my life. And he asked me, he said, well, can I prove it to you? Can I show it to you? Can you give me a chance? And I said, sure. Yeah. So God just knows. God prepared him for me. Now we are, I've just turned 50. And how old are you again?
52.
52 already? Okay.
Still falling for you.
Yes. What was I saying?
I'll just keep going from here.
He's
listen,
great,
the reason
but I forget.
The reason why we're sharing this with you, I want you guys to understand that we want to share with you tonight about how to go for the long haul. I mean, we've been gone for 28 years, and we are still madly in love. But there are reasons why God blessed us the way he has blessed us. And we've gone through hell and back many times. But with all the stuff that we went through in our lives. And so really, there are a few things that you need to understand right from the beginning, how you can really prepare yourself to go the distance. And point number one really is that if God is not number one, it's never going to work. And that's the reason why, you know, we started on the right foot, because we met in the church. It was in the church. Don't go somewhere else. Go look for somebody. Listen, keep looking, keep trusting God, keep praying and asking God for your life mate, for somebody that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, right in church. Because when you are unequally yoked, and I think probably Pastor Dan and everybody else talked a little bit about that with you too, but that was our story. You meet in church and you serve God together. You put God first. Yeah. That's always the right way.
And the way this looks in a dating relationship, going back to the dating part of it, before I even met him, I wrote down here, you are not ready for a husband or a wife until you are ready to just have God. I really believe this with my whole heart, that I had to come to the point, seriously, that I said to God, I'm good with it. I'm really seriously good. I just came out of a relationship that I knew that is not what I want, and I don't want anything. I came to a place that God was everything for me. I was so in love with God. I talked to God in the morning when I got up. I talked to God when I go to bed at night. And I told the Lord, it is okay. If I can have this relationship with Him for the rest of my life, I'm good with it. And I really meant it.
What did He show you?
Well, later on He showed me. Well, yeah. So I did see Him in a dream before I married Him. And that was after the fact, because then I you know, I just was sold out for God. I served God with all of my heart, with all of my life. And long time after that, long time like months, when you're a teenager, and I was like 21 or 22. Then a long time is like months. Now a long time is years. But a while after that, I was praying. I was just so tight with God, you know. And one time I was praying and I just felt God drop in my heart, I have somebody for you. And I was like, wow, okay. Is that you, God? If that is you, God, show me now. I'm nosy. You know, my family doesn't hide something from me easily. I want to know everything. So now I said to God, so who is the man? Who is he? And believe it or not, God knew I would need this later in life, I guess. But I had a dream when I asked God that. I knew that was in answer to my question. I saw a face. And the face I saw, I wasn't sure. It looked almost like pictures that you see the face of Jesus, you know? Dark hair. Is there a picture back there? Maybe our engagement picture. We kind of just the two of us sitting together. Maybe you can understand. He had a beard at the time and dark hair. So I saw this vision. And I was, oh no, there I'm expecting. That was after we were married.
There you go.
That was what he looked like when I met him. After I cut his hair. That was after I cut his hair.
I'm looking good there already.
So I saw his face for the first time 2 days before we got married. He shaved off his beard. But I liked that what I saw too. So that's good. So, you know, I saw a face. Can you see his face? If you see that like in a vision. And I thought, whoa, Jesus. You know? And it was only after we were married for a while. One morning, I woke up, and my head was in his arm. That's a great place to be.
Of course.
But if you're single here, you got to wait. You got that message last week, 1 week before. You got to wait. Because it's really cool if you're married to the man and you wake up, you know, like that. So I woke up, and I looked up. He was still asleep, and I looked up at his face, and I'm like, oh, there's the face. It came back to me. God said to me, this is what you saw. After I was married, I didn't marry him because I saw the face. But God confirmed it to me after we were married. So, you know, 5 years later when I got really mad at him, and 10 years later that I said, God, I knew this was the man. God had confirmed to me in multiple ways. But doesn't he look kind of like Jesus? But yeah, so that's the...
You want to quickly show them the other pictures while you're at it?
Okay, that was our engagement. And then I was just looking last night through some wedding pictures when we were married.
Oh, isn't she pretty? She's so gorgeous. Okay, that's why I married her.
There are more? Just
she is just too
beautiful. Oh, I'm so the happiest day of my life.
Oh, my goodness.
Until I started having kids, there was...
Yep. Nah,
can
you blame me?
There we are.
Can you blame me that I asked her?
Isn't he so handsome?
My goodness.
Isn't he? Okay, girls.
She's gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah, and that is 28 years ago, and... many gray hairs later.
Yep.
But you are still the most handsome man in the world.
That's right.
If
and
I have to
you
choose...
You are the most wonderful woman in the world. You better still think I'm the most handsome guy.
If I have to choose today,
I
God
want you
witness,
to be in love with me
again.
For the rest of my life.
I'll
you
choose
will
you
choose
again.
Me. Will you marry me?
Sure, I will marry you. I will marry you.
So what happened, actually, after we met, I think, probably within 3 weeks, I asked her to marry me. Was it? It was 3 weeks. I said, come on, you know what? Actually, she was half asleep. She was on the couch.
Now it sounds like we slept together.
No, we
didn't
were just
sleep together.
We were just watching TV.
The man was
and,
just...
and she was half asleep. And so I looked at her and she was so gorgeous. And I whispered, will you marry me? I didn't even have a ring at the time, did I?
No, we don't do it like that in South Africa.
Oh, South Africa is a little, a little different. But anyway, and so sure enough, a couple of months later, we got engaged. And within 3 months, we got married.
4 months.
4 months, something like that.
Always gets the story wrong. Okay, this is the
three,
point.
3 4 months. Well, what's
this
a month?
This is the point,
you know,
where we
days.
Have to tell you we do not recommend.
No, of course not.
That.
You know, but if you know that you know that you know.
You first come
you
see us.
You know.
And then, seriously.
Come see us. We'll help you with that, all
we
right?
We will help you. 4 months after we met, over 4 months, we were married.
Yep.
We didn't have to get married. People in the church were like, shh, you know? I only heard that afterwards. I was in La La Land, man. I was so in love. It was just so wonderful. And afterwards, people in the church were thinking, oh, is this...
Yep, there's anyway. Yolandi. She's first, and she's only 26 years old, right?
Yes,
I think 26 years old. Right? 26? Yeah.
Right, right.
So there it is.
So, you know, when you... there's something that our pastor said. Pastor Debbie said... The way you judge something, she said a while ago, when you have to make a decision in many areas, and I was thinking, I think it even works with dating and marriage and all that. She said, this is how you judge it. Is it good for God? Is it good for others? Is it good for me? And I was thinking about that thing that she says and applies it to other things, and I think this is it. If you look at somebody that you are serious about. Listen, if you just remember this, of everything we say tonight, first, is it good for God?
Yeah.
Is it a God thing? Is it good for God? Meaning, is God number one? Do you both love God more? Listen, we both love God more than we love each other, and we still had to and have to work on our marriage. So don't, you know, go the wrong way. Is it good for God? Second one, is it good for others? What in the world do others have to do with it? Because you say, I'm in love. You know, it goes against what society says. But you do marry not just one person. You marry the family. You marry the history. You marry
Absolutely.
The past, the present,
you marry
and the
a crowd.
Future. You marry.
You do.
You stand in front in the pulpit.
Yep.
And the pastor says, the two shall become one. 7 years later, I'm thinking, he lied. There are five of us now. It's like, and then how many other family members? So is it good for God? Is it good for others? Is it a fit? Is your family open? They don't have to be in love with, you know, at first. But do they get along? Is it going to work? Or is it going to be like this? And then is it good for us? So that is really a great criteria to say it short.
I'm going to quickly move on because our time is very limited. Yes. I want to read to you a scripture from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 15. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So basically, what we're saying to you when we say put God first, that is the foundation. If you want to go all the way, if you want someday to be able to stand before God and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, this is what it takes. You need to put him first. You cannot put anyone or anything else above him. When you put him first, it will show in the way your relationships are built. And I want you to understand that right after we got married, not long, probably months after we got married, God called me into full-time ministry. And
I did not marry a pastor. I married an engineer.
I was working with IBM at the time, and I loved what I was doing. And God called me at the time to go into full-time ministry and become pastor, and I didn't want to. But at the time, I put out a fleece, and God showed me very clearly this is what he wanted me to do. And I spoke to her about it, and we said, okay, yes, we're going to do this. And everything we did, we talked to God and consulted with God. Every decision that we made, we talked to God because he is number one. He is the one that lead us, that guide us. He's the one after we, was in ministry that brought us all the way to the United States. We didn't want to do that. God brought us here. He took us back and pastor again over there, and then we came back again. I mean, we made huge moves. This amazing woman came with me with four bags to all the way to a strange country, and we didn't know anybody, but we knew God. And I don't care where you go, where you find yourself, where you end up as a couple. Listen to me. When you have God, it doesn't matter. When God is with you, as long as he is there, he will carry you through. And listen, we ate a lot of, we call it bags of salt. When you get married and you go through stuff. Do you have that expression here? Yeah. When you go through a lot of stuff. The only way to do that is when you put God first.
Yeah. And this scripture talks about eternity and talks about your choices for God and such. But just think about that scripture. As we were preparing and thinking, we thought of that scripture being very applicable to our lives also. Because here we are 50 and 52 years old. And if I have to say one thing, when I sit still and I think back about our lives, it feels like yesterday. It feels like yesterday, that one picture, you know, expecting my first baby, and then we had our second and third. When I look back over our life together and over our lives.
Show some of those pictures while she's talking.
Then they're not going to listen to me.
Yeah, they will see
okay.
it.
So, oh, there's Yolandi, first baby.
Just run through them real quick.
Yeah. And oh, look at that. Oh, aren't they just too cute? All three of them. Oh, that one's out of sort. That was before. I had some before we were married pictures. Just go on. There I was a student. That was before. And there I'm literally ready to give birth. See my face? It's like I gave birth, I think, the next day. So, you know, when I look back, seriously, I can tell you those decisions I made for the sake of Christ, the decisions I made and the seasons I spent with God and consulted Him and obeyed Him, that's all that remains standing when you're 50 years old. I look back and I tell you, if I did not have God, I would not be where I am tonight. I know I would have married the wrong person. I know I would have surely divorced him. God helps me. If I have had children, I would have been a single mom. I was career driven. We have both had careers back there. I don't know how I would have made choices to raise my children because I consulted God in everything. But if I look back, if I had done things my way, I would have been a broken person right now. And it would have been like that scripture says, it would have burned up. Time, when you get older like we do, time burns things away. Because those things that were important when you were 22 is not important anymore when you are 45.
Yep.
You are carrying on and fighting over nonsense, you know, when you are younger, that it doesn't matter anymore in your 40s. But if I had made my own choices, I think I would, I don't know that I would have had anything. So looking back, my relationship with my husband, my children, the ministry, being where we are right now in the relationships that we have in ministry and with family and everybody, although we've had to leave everything that we knew, we had to leave our home. We still don't have a blood family member in this country. We're born and raised in South Africa. Only the things that I made, the decisions that I made for God, stood the fire, the test of time. So I want to encourage you. It may not make sense right now because you're young. It may go against what you think, against what your peers are saying, and you may say, blah, 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 I've heard this a million times. Listen, this is serious stuff.
Yep.
Because you better be careful. You better be watching what you are deciding, watching who you're hanging with, watching who you give your heart away to, because it is setting the pace. You are painting the picture of your life, what it's going to be like when you're 50 years old and older. And God's the only way.
Yep. Quickly, second point. If you want to go the distance, if you have to fight, fight for unity. And now I want to talk to those that are married. Just quickly show me how many of you are married.
Who's married in here? Wow.
Okay, a couple of you.
All right.
Okay, so quickly, listen. And even all of you that are not married yet, hey, someday you're going to get married, and you need to remember this. You need to know this. If you have to fight, fight for unity. Listen to what the Word says real quick. The Word says in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Remember, when you get married, God says that He makes two people one. And believe me, none more different than we are. Oh boy, she is different.
So
with
are
a capital
you.
D. And
the man is
so
strange
will you.
Sometimes.
You will see the one that you marry will like, where did you come from? You know, there'll be days when you don't know what hit you. But when you fight, remember, fight for unity. Because God's desire for you is to become one and to be one. And even though you may have many different opinions about things and have many different ideas of how you see what should happen, if you will do this and if you will put God first, you will be able to have a great love story for the rest of your life. All the major decisions that we made, coming here to another country, you know, moving internationally how many times, all the major decisions from taking one church and then another church after many years and so on, you know, all those decisions I would not make by myself. I've learned that we pray together, we make those decisions together. When you can stay in unity for those major decisions especially, that's what really helped you to be united and together and to be godly. Because remember, this is God's desire for you, is to be one.
And it is a fight, guys.
Yeah.
It really seriously, when
you
are married.
If you don't fight for it.
You have to fight through a lot of misconceptions, ungodly beliefs, and things in your past, and things in the present, circumstances, what people are saying. You have to literally fight through that. But your goal should always be, whatever we do, our goal is to come in agreement. Even if we agree to disagree. Because everything is coming against you, and the battle is divide and conquer. Satan's strategy, his MO is divide
Absolutely.
And conquer. So your battle, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't fight for your own desires. Don't fight for nonsense. Fight for unity. Say, I have to sometimes tell him, I don't like you right now. I love you, but I don't like you. Emotions go up, but we are not talking because we like each other at that time. We are talking in obedience and say, listen, we have to work this out because we have to come to a point that we are in agreement. Otherwise, the enemy is going to take us out.
Absolutely. Quickly, the last point, and then we have to close. If you want to go the distance, go for a long, many years, keep the flames burning. Okay? If you're not going to work on keeping those flames burning, listen.
You're talking to the married people now?
I'm talking to the married people.
Okay.
Okay? Single people, just take note once you are married. But, hey, you guys know how to date, right? You know what it takes to have a great date. Oh, you just tell each other so many wonderful things about each other. You can never have enough time with each other. Can I get an amen? Oh, my goodness.
Maybe they date differently these days. I don't know.
Hey, listen.
It should be a positive. Hey, if the dates are not positive, don't marry that person.
Yeah, please.
For goodness sakes.
If you don't want to spend time together, rather find someone else.
If the dates don't work, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. But listen.
It's got to be good then.
Otherwise, you're married, don't stop dating.
Yeah.
You keep dating. You make the time. And dating means no kids. You know, you're alone. Movies don't count. Don't go watch a movie. Oh, we had a great date. Come on. You were staring at a screen. You might as well sit at home and watch a movie there on a TV. Forget that. When you're on a date, away from the house, dress up nice. I mean, look.
Smell good.
Smell good and all that kind of stuff. And you only are there to build each other up. You are there to tell each other how much you appreciate one another. Depreciation is the opposite, you know. And it's so easy to talk negative towards one another and tear each other down, especially if you've been married for a number of years. But listen, your job is to fill each other's love tank. You know, each of us, even if you're single, you know, God created us with an emotional love tank, so to speak, that all of us want to feel like we are appreciated. All of us want to feel like, somebody cares about me, right?
Can I jump in there?
Sure.
And as a wife, I came to a point where I said, there's no way in the world anybody else is going to fill this man's love tank.
Yep.
I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Right? Couples, if you don't fill your spouse's love tank, I'm just going to leave it at that. You don't want anything or anybody else to fill it. So that is your responsibility.
So anyway, those are 3 points. Our time is up. I'm sorry. Wow, this evening went so fast.
I have to say one more thing. Can I say one more thing to that point for the married people here? You know, keep the flames burning.
Read the scripture.
I don't have my glasses here. Let the husbands render to his wife the affection due to her and likewise wife to her husband.
No, you're getting into the sex thing now. Wait, they've already heard
a
lot about the
sex
stuff.
I wanted to say that. There might be some couples who need to hear that. You talk about flames.
Okay.
So I just want to say for the couples that are here, remember as far as the romance going and an affection and all that, you have no choice, okay? We sit with couples all the time in our office. And the wife says, while I went and I'm now sleeping in another bed, in another room and blah, blah, blah. This scripture says, you're not owning your own body anymore. You're not boss of your own body. So you have to read 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 to 5. And I also want to throw it out for couples and singles. If this stirs some things and you have some more questions and you need to talk face to face with somebody, that's why pastors are here. Pastor Luke and all the young adults pastors, they will take spiritual guidance appointments. Mm. Call the office. Tell them, man, can I stop by? Can I come see you? Talk to somebody. Mm. We can tell you stories how godly counsel. We sought godly counsel. Before we got married, I sought godly counsel. Married couples, seek counsel. We call it spiritual guidance. Call the office. Come see one of us pastors. Let's help you. Do not be prideful and just go down a wrong path.
Pride will take you down every time.
Just humble yourself and come talk to us. We love you. We want you to be happy. We have some tools we can help you with that God has shown us. And whether you're single or married, please don't suffer alone, okay? We want to help you. So. Okay,
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God loves each and every one of you passionately. He loves you passionately. And His desire for you is to have an amazing future. An amazing love story, even greater than all the love stories you've heard for the whole month, okay? God wants you to be blessed. Do you believe that?